Today's presenter is Kalise Perry. Kalise works on providing level 2 support for Webshare Message Broker and Webshare Service Registry and respiratory products for customers worldwide. He has been involved with the Webshare Message Broker product for the past 6 years in a support role. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Kalise.
Thank you, Elijah. Good morning, everyone. I am Kalise Perry, and I work with Message Broker Level 2 Support in RTP, North Carolina. Today's presentation is about migrating to WebSphere Message Broker 6.1 and also the coexistence that has been introduced since version 6.0 product of Message Broker. Even though 6.1 has been released almost a year back, or more than a year back, the reason why we chose to have this presentation at this time is due to the fact that Message Broker version 5 will be going out of support by the end of September, and many customers who are on version 5 will have to migrate either to version 6.0 or version 6.1 of the product to be in support. This presentation focuses on migrating to version 6.1. However, if your organization chooses to migrate to version 6, most of the details that will be discussed in this presentation are applicable to version 6 as well. But I would encourage you to refer to the online info center for 6.0 migration details if you are planning to migrate to version 6.0. All right, let's move on to slide number 2. This is the agenda that I will be following during the course of this presentation. First, we will talk about the requirements for migrating to version 6.1. Details like what version and fixed pack level that you need to be at to be able to migrate to version 6.1. Then we will focus on coexistence. One of the main features that was introduced in version 6.0 and is continuing forward with version 6.1 of Message Broker is coexistence. Coexistence can be component coexistence or version coexistence. We will discuss about both component and version coexistence. Version coexistence is the ability to install multiple versions on the same system. If you remember version 2.1 or version 5.0, if you had to install version 5.0 and you were running version 2.1, there was no option but to uninstall version 2.1 before you could install version 5.0. Whereas with version 6.0 onwards, you can have a previous version of Message Broker on the same system, and you can install version 6.0 or 6.1. And component coexistence means it's the ability of Message Broker components, like your Config Manager, Broker, or Toolkit, of different versions existing together on the same system. Once we discuss coexistence, we will just move on to migration details. The steps that you will need to follow to migrate WebSphere Message Broker components are also the software prerequisites that you would need to upgrade before you migrate to version 6.1. And then, finally, we will talk about different migration scenarios. Once we complete the migration scenarios, I will open the floor, turn it back to Elijah for any questions that you might have. All right, let's move on to slide number 3. Migration requirements. So what are the requirements for migration? If you are running version 5.0 of Message Broker, either the Event Broker or version 5.0 Message Broker or Message Broker Rules and Formatter Extensions, you have to be at least on Fixed Pack 4. If you are running Fixed Pack 3 or below, we would encourage you to move up to 5.4 or later to be able to migrate to version 6.1. And if you're running version 6.0 of the Event Broker or Message Broker or Rules and Formatter Extension, you have to be at least on the GA version or later, or any fixed pack that is out there for 6.0. One more thing, if you're running version 5.1 of the toolkit, because we had introduced an intermediary version of the toolkit for version 5, the migration steps of migrating toolkit to 6.1 are the same as for toolkit 5.0. And if there are any users out there still using 2.1, and I know there are a couple of them, there is no straightforward migration path from 2.1 to 6.1. You have to move up to 6.0 first and then migrate it to 6.1. All right? Let's move on to slide number 4. Version coexistence. As I had mentioned briefly before, starting with version 6.0 and upwards, you can have multiple versions of message broker products coexist on the same system. How did we do this? With earlier versions of the product install directory was always the same. So you had no choice but to uninstall the previous product and then install the newer version of the product in the same directory. So you could not have multiple versions at the same time. So starting with version 6, what we did was we gave the users the ability to choose the installation path, what directory that you want to install, so that, like, you know, you can install the version 6.1 product in a different directory than your existing product. What happens is when the version 6.1 is being installed on a system that has a previous version, say, for example, 2.1 or version 5.0, the installer presents installs in a completely new location. It will give you a choice to select the directory that is, like, completely different from your existing installation. So now you can have two different versions installed on the same system at the same time. We also introduced the concept of profiles or command consoles so that you can select which instance to work on so that you can tailor each environment to have that specific version information. All right, now to run multiple instances of the product, the only requirement is your component names should be unique. You can't have a version 5.0 broker and a 6.1 broker with the same name because we would not know what, like, version that you want to run. All right? So you cannot have two brokers or two config managers with the same name. They need to be different. Again, the naming of config managers is something that we have introduced in version 6.0, which I will discuss a few slides later. All right, one more requirement is brokers cannot share queue managers. Each broker has to have its own queue manager. So basically, the broker-queue manager relationship is one-to-one. All right, we have given a command, MQSI list, which lists all the components of the current version. If you, like, you know, run MQSI list command from your command console or your shell, which has been run MQSI profile, it will list all the components pertaining to the current version. But if you tag along a -a parameter to MQSI list, it will list all the components that are running on the system with their versions. All right, let's move on to slide 5. I've got a table that shows the coexistence of versions and components. If you have a system that has got version 5, version 5.1, or version 6.0 toolkit installed, you can, on the same system, you can have version 6.1 toolkit installed and also the version 6.1 runtime components, namely your config manager, broker, and username server, all installed on the same system. And the same thing goes with a system with version 5.0 or version 6.0 config manager installed. You can install the 6.1 toolkit, config manager, broker, and UNS. Of course, one thing that you have to remember is toolkit is only supported on Windows and Linux platforms currently. Alright, and if you have a version 5 or a version 6.0 system with a broker installation, you can have 6.1 toolkit, config manager, broker, and UNS all on the same system. And if you have, again, a system with version 5.0 or 6.0 UNS or username server, you can have all the other components installed. The only requirement for username server on distributed systems is you can have only one username server per system. That's the only requirement or restriction that you need to be aware of. All right? Let's move on to slide 6. So far, we have discussed about coexisting versions on a single system. Now, let's extend this concept to components. All version 6.1 components can participate in a version 5.0 or a 6.0 domain. And the same thing goes with version 5.0 or 6.0 components. They can participate in a version 6.1 domain. There are some restrictions that I will discuss in the next couple of slides. Again, username server, we have not changed username server since 2.1 days. So you don't need to migrate a username server. You can use a username server from previous versions, or you can have you can delete and recreate the username server pertaining to the new version. All right? Let's move to slide 7. Let's talk about component coexistence, and here's a table that shows what components can coexist together and what are the restrictions. You can have a version 6.1 toolkit alongside a version 5.0 or 5.1 or a version 6.0 toolkit. What about the artifacts, toolkit artifacts? If you want to access version 5.0 or version 5.1 artifacts in version 6.1 toolkit, you can have them, but the only thing that you need to pay attention, particular attention, is if you have message maps and data definitions. If you have them at version 5.0 level, you would need to migrate them prior to accessing them in a version 6.1 toolkit. You need to migrate them using a command called migrate mf maps command. You have to run that command, then you can access the message maps and the data definitions, which will be converted from the old extensions to the new extensions. The data definitions, I think, used to be called XMIs, and now they'll be called DBMs, I think. And then, can you access a version 6.1 config manager from an earlier version of Toolkit? Yes, but you cannot do that with a domain user. If you're using domain users, you cannot access, you cannot connect a version 5.x or 5.0 or 5.1 toolkit to a version 6.1 config manager. Or you cannot connect to a 6.1 toolkit to a config to a version 5.0 config manager using a domain user. All right? Can a version 6.1 broker be accessed using an earlier version of toolkit? Yes. The only thing that, again, you would need to remember is debugging. If you want to debug message flows, you can debug only with the like versions of the toolkit and broker. Suppose you're running version 5.0 broker and you want to debug version 5.0 flows, you have to have version 5.0 of the toolkit and version 5.0 of RAC. And the same thing goes with version 6.0 message flows, and to debug 6.0 message flows, you have to have RAC version 6.0. And the toolkit needs to be at one of the supported levels, either 6.0.0.1 or 6.0.2 versions of the toolkit. How about 6.1 debugging? What we did with version 6.1 debugging is we got away with RAC completely in 6.1. We had enough problems with RAC, so we said, okay, we'll take that component out, and we will use plain Java debugging. So you don't need RAC. You have to be on version 6.1 toolkit, and you can use the inbuilt Java debugger by setting some parameters and commands using NQSI change properties command. All right? Once debugging is out of the picture, you have, if you have deployed to a 6.1 broker from any version of the toolkit, You cannot migrate the broker back to its previous version. Once you have deployed, that's it. You cannot revert back. All right? And when you deploy from a version 6.1 message broker toolkit to a version 5.0 or a version 6.0 broker, the only thing that you can do is you can deploy unmodified bar files that you have created in the earlier versions of the toolkit. All right? Let's move on to slide number 8. Migration planning. Before you plan your migration, understand the new features of version 6.1. We have introduced a number of new nodes in version 6.1. And some of the factors that might affect migration is the use of support packs. So if you are using in version 5.0 or version 6.0, any of these support packs that are not supported on 6.1, before you migrate, you would need to modify your message flows, taking those nodes out from the message flows before you migrate them. Couple of examples are, there are some email nodes that most of the customers use, and also there is a support pack called IA9Q, which provides or facilitates access to the service registry. I'll talk more about support pack migration when we come to component migration. And then software requirements. If you are running Windows, you have to pay attention particularly whether your Windows operating system, and you're running version 5, you have to check whether your operating system is supported with version 6.1 or not. Because we used to support version 5 on Windows 2000, and Windows 2000 is no longer supported by Microsoft itself. So what we did was we got away with 2000. We no longer support 6.1 on Windows 2000. So Windows version 6.1 is only supported on Windows XP or Windows 2003 server. And also MQ. If you're running version 5.3 of MQ, you would definitely need to upgrade to version 6.0 of MQ, because 5.3 is no longer supported, and we don't support it with version 6.1 as well. And then migration strategy. What you want to migrate, when you want to migrate, that depends basically on your enterprise. When you have, like, you know, when you have the availability or when you want to do migration, that's up to you. And how about, like, you know, migrating your development artifacts, like your message flows, message sets, UDMs, data definitions, message maps. The only things that need special considerations are user-defined nodes, data definitions, and message maps. Like I discussed before, data definitions and message maps need to be migrated using the MQSI migrate MFmaps command, and you need to do a little bit of tinkering with the user-defined nodes, especially if you're on version 5.0. That I'll discuss again, like, you know, in the coming slides. All right, pre-migration check. Before you migrate the components, I strongly advise you run MQSI migrate components command with the -C or check option to ensure that the component will migrate without any problems. All right? And then come to backing up resources. I would strongly advise that you back up all your resources prior to migration, like your config manager and broker database tables, your message flows, message sets, message mappings, XML schemas, user-defined node projects, etc. So that, like, if you have to, like, you know, go back, fall back onto that version, you have those available. Testing, I would say, is very important. Even though migrating to version 6.1, we have maintained compatibility, please test your business logic to ensure that the behavior in the new version is the same as your previous version. The reason why I say this is because with version 6.1, we have done a lot of code cleanup or tightening of ESQL. Whatever that happened in version 5.0, The loose ESQL ends we have tightened up. The syntax has been tightened. So some of the code, the ESQL code that works in 5.0 might not, like, you know, be the same in version 6.1. You might get more warnings. So I would encourage you to, like, you know, check these warnings, clean them up before you start migrating. Or, like, you know, once you migrate your toolkit, you will know that. All right, let's move on to slide 9. The suggested migration order. There is nothing like in stone that we say you have to do these things. Based on what your enterprise goals are, migrate the components that are listed in any order you want. You can migrate the toolkit first if you want to develop message flows to take advantage of the new features that have been introduced in version 6.1. Or you can migrate the config manager first if you want to move the config manager to a new operating system if you're in version 5. Because starting with version 6.0, config manager can run on any platform that the broker runs on. I'll discuss more about this, why we have done this, I think further down the presentation. All right, and if you want to, like, you know, do the brokers first, if you want to take advantage of the new broker features, you can migrate the brokers first. Okay? All right, let's move on to slide 10. Migrating the toolkit. Let's take a look what is involved in the migration of a toolkit. Migrating your development artifacts in the Message Broker toolkit is very straightforward. First, install your 6.1 toolkit, then start a new workspace and import any of the required message flows or message sets from your old workspace, or you can connect to your existing workspace with the 6.1 toolkit. But I would recommend creating a new workspace because you can act like, you know, you can save your existing files in your new workspace. Once you save them, you cannot deploy them back to, like, or open them back in your version 5 or version 6.0 toolkits. All right? The only downside of using a second workspace is, of course, that you have to have two copies of your message artifacts. But at the same time, and disk space, of course. One suggestion I have is if you don't want to, like, copy your entire workspace and have all the Eclipse artifacts, you can just copy your message flow and message set projects into the new workspace directory and then, like, you know, use them with the version 6.1 toolkit. All right? When are all these artifacts migrated, like your message flows or message sets? Once you open them in version 6.1 toolkit, when you save them, they are migrated to the version 6.1 toolkit. The only exception is your MFmap files and data definitions that were generated in version 5, which we discussed earlier, that you need to use NQSI migrate maps command. All right? If you're running version 6, the maps are migrated automatically. Okay? Let's move on to slide 11, the NQSI migrate components command. In my opinion, this is the only command other than MQSI migrate MFmap that you would need to know for migrating to version 6.1. You can use this command to migrate the runtime components, namely your broker, config manager, and or database instance manager between versions. You can migrate a lower version of the component to a higher version, and vice versa. All right? By default, the migrate components command will detect the current version of the component it is trying to migrate and move it up to the existing or to the current version, which is 6.1. All right? You can also use this command against the components that are already at 6.1 level by using the minus T flag. If you specify the minus T flag along with a version, a back-level version, it will revert back to the component to that version, all right? What this command does is it will modify the data associated with that component so that it is compatible with that version that you have specified with the minus C flag. Mind you, there is no product code that is changed. So a reverted component, if you revert a component, say, to like 5.0.8, right, we expect that you have FixPack 8 of version 5 installed on the box, right, so that you can run that component back at that level. The only exception to this minus T flag that is a version 5 config manager. If you migrate a version 5 config manager to a version 6.1 config manager, there is no going back, because the reason for this is version 5.0 config manager used to use DB2 tables. And starting with version 6.0, we no longer use DB2 tables. That is the reason. All right. There is another extension to NQSI migrate components. You can do a phased migration. All right? If in your enterprise, if your database administrator does not have access to NQ, or the NQ administrator does not have database authorities, you can do the migration in phases. You can use, there are three flags that you can use, the minus one, minus two, or minus three, along with my MTSI migrate components command. If you use minus one, the only thing that gets migrated is your file system and registry of the broker, or like, you know, your config manager. And if you use minus two, all the queue manager artifacts that are associated with that component are migrated. And if you want to do the database migration, use the minus three flag. If you're using the phased migration, only when all the three are completed, the component is totally migrated to the latest version. You can use that at that level only after you complete minus one, minus two, and minus three, all right? Because migration is a critical operation, there are several options that we allow to back out the migrated components just in case something fails, all right? Like I explained, there's a pre-migration check that you can do before you migrate your components to see how your migration is going to progress. And again, there is a post-migration check. Once the component is migrated, there is a post-migration check which is automatically done on the component just to ensure the consistency of the component, all right? And if there is an error that occurs even after you have done your minus C option, during the migration, if something happens, all the changes are backed out so that like your component is left at the stage to the pre-migration, all right? So that like, you know, we don't leave the component half-migrated, all right? And always, like I say, backing up resources is a very good idea. In case something falls apart and you have to call us, and while we are working on that, you can revert back to your older version of the product. All right, let's go to slide number 12. Migrating a version 5.0 config manager. All right, starting with version 6.0, config manager can run on any platform that the broker runs on. Till version 5.0, we had a requirement that the config manager must run on a Windows box and have to have DB2 as its config manager database. We had so many customers complain saying, our shop is a ZOS shop, or like, you know, we use only AIX or Solaris, and there is this like, you know, little box that need to be there out of like all these guys just for like, you know, having a config manager. So what we did, we heard like customer complaints and said, okay, we'll get rid of like, you know, this config manager dependency first of all. How did we do it? We took DB2 out of the picture first. So what we use now is an open source cross-platform database CloudScape. It's open source, so we can like, you know, it can exist on any platform. And so when you migrate your config manager, all the DB2 tables from your version 5.0 config manager are converted to CloudScape's internal format, all right? Since you can run CloudScape on any platform, and we supply CloudScape with the product, all right, you can move config managers from one system to another system. suppose you have like your config manager running on an AIX system today, and tomorrow you would want to move the config manager to a ZOS box. All you have to do is run two commands. One, you will do a backup of the config manager, and which will create a zip file. Take that zip file and run a restore config manager command on the target box. You have your config manager up and running. All right? Let's move to slide 13. Migrating the broker. We'll talk about distributed platforms first, what you need to do. So first, of course, you will install 6.1 and then stop your current version of the broker. And if you are on Unix platforms, update your ODBC definitions in your ODBC.ini files, because with version 6.1, we have supplied new data direct drivers. All right, we'll discuss about this in a little bit in detail in the following slides when I talk about distributed platforms. All right, and you have to set up your version 6.1 command environment. That means you have to run your NQSI profile if you're on Unix boxes, or bring up your command console on Windows boxes. What this does basically is sets up your path, class path, or library path, or LD library path, depending on your environment. All right, then run your NQSI migrate components command. Of course, by now I've drilled enough that you have to run your minus C option with the migrate components command so that just you're like, you know, you're sure. All right, let's move to slide 14. Migrating a ZOS broker. What you have to do, stop your version 5 or version 6.0 broker, back up your broker database tables using your recommended database practices, create a new broker PDSE, then copy all the broker JCLs from version 6.1 install, SBIPPROC and SBIPSAM PDSEs to the new broker PDSE and customize them. There is an excellent online info center page on how to customize your broker JCLs, and it's listed on your presentation. So once you go there, it'll give you all the steps on what to do for how to customize your broker JCLs. All right, let's move on to slide 16. All right, you have to customize your BIPEdit file using the values that are defined in the BIPEdit file that is supplied with the product. All right, copy any additional changes that you have made to the environment file and the ODBC initialization files to BIPBPROF and BIPDSNOA component datasets. Then submit the BIPGen job to create your environment file. Once the environment file is created, customize and then submit the BIPNGCMP, which is the equivalent command for ZOS to migrate components. What this job does is it will migrate your registry, queue manager, and broker databases. All right? The only thing that you need to remember is during migration, we will create temporary tables, we'll drop some tables, so what you need to have is authorizations for the database access. You need to have database access authorization just like as if you're doing your NQSI create broker command. You need to, so that like, you know, the tables can be created or dropped or modified while the migration is being done. All right? Then copy the started task JCL, which is BRKP, to the procedures library. Once you copy the started task, run the verification program, all right, which starts your version 6.1 broker. Let's move on to the next slide, slide 16. All right, migrating the database instance manager. With version 6.1, the Derby database that is provided with the product, we have upgraded it. With version 6.0, we started providing Derby database. We have updated it in 6.1. So use your NQSI migrate components command to migrate the database instance manager to use the updated Derby database. This needs to be done only on a Windows platform because the database instance manager is only available on Windows. And the Database Instance Manager is created if only if you have run the default configuration wizard that is available on the Windows platform, or you create a Derby database as a broker database using the MQSI create DB command. Only if you do these two things, your Database Instance Manager is created. So then you would need to use that to migrate it. All right, on to slide 17. What do you need to do to migrate your Database Instance Manager? Of course, you have to have your 6.1 product first. Then stop all your brokers that use Derby as the database, and stop all the components that are created with the default configuration wizard. Then stop the Database Instance Manager, right? And then from a version 6.1 command console, issue your migrate components command with the Database Instance Manager as a parameter. Once the migrate commands complete successfully, start your Database Instance Manager. That's pretty much it. All right, let's move on to slide 18. Migrating a username server. All right. In my opinion, this is one of the easiest tasks in the migration scenario. Why? Because we have not changed this component since 2.1. It has no persistent state to migrate. You can either migrate it using your MQSI migrate components command, or just delete and recreate it, or use it as is. It will run. All right? Now that we have seen how to migrate all the runtime components, the broker, the config manager, the toolkit, let's see what we need to do with rules and formatter. Let's move on to slide 19. Slide 19, please. All right. Migrating rules and formatter is almost the same as username server. There were no changes done to the rules and formatter database. The FYE and RFE data files that hold rules and formats data, they have not changed. So you don't need to do any additional actions to migrate rules and formatter other than migration needed for your message broker. The rules and formatter component of the product is upgraded when you upgrade your version product to version 6.1. All right? So basically, if you upgrade your version 6.1 to rules and formatter, you have your rules and formatter upgraded. Pretty much it. All right, let's move to slide 20. User-defined nodes. If you have any user-defined nodes on version 5, if you're on version 5.0, make sure that you copy the lil and jar files. The runtime has not changed, so you can use the same lil and jar files. All right? One thing you need to be aware of is you need to, like, back up your user-defined node project and the workbench representation of the product. And once you do that, you have to, like, you know, if you're migrating from version 5.0, open the workbench representation of your user-defined node in version 6.1 toolkit, and then run the clean on your project explorers to clean the project. Once you've run clean on your project, you have to edit your plugin.xml file and make a couple of modifications in the plugin.xml that are noted on your slide. Basically, you have to change the requires element, and you have to change your extension points. Once you do that, save your project and then, like, you know, export your project, and then you have to unzip it into your toolkit, EV Toolkit Eclipse plugins directory. Once you do that, restart your toolkit and open it in your toolkit. It will be appearing in your workbench. A note, though, if you're migrating to version 6.0, after you put the toolkit representation in your EV Toolkit Eclipse plugins directory, you have to start the toolkit with a minus clean option. That will ensure that the toolkit cache is refreshed, and when you open the toolkit, you will see the workbench representation in your toolkit packet. All right, let's move to slide 21. More migration of your user-defined nodes. Like I said, you have to copy your lil or jar files into the lilpath or like, you know, jplugin or shared classes directly, whichever is appropriate. Alright? After you copy them into like, you know, the lilpath or the jplugin or your shared classes directly, you have to stop and restart your broker for the new changes, like, or for the new jar files to be loaded at broker, at execution group startup time. Alright? Let's move on to slide 22. Migrating support packs. If you are using any support packs, make sure that they are supported at 6.1 level, because most of the Cat 3 support packs, if they have not been migrated to version 6.1, we won't support them, all right? Especially if you're using MQGET nodes or email nodes, I would strongly suggest that you have to use the new email nodes that have been provided. And same is the case with FTP nodes that are available as support packs in the previous versions. Alright? And then, if you are using the IA9Q support pack, most of the customers who are on 6.0, if they wanted connectivity to WSRR, the service registry and repository, there's a support pack that is available, the IA9Q support pack. Alright? If you are using that, if you want to upgrade to 6.1, you would need to remove the support pack before you upgrade to version 6.1. The IA9Q support pack offers two nodes, the SR Retrieve node and SR Retrieve IT service. And these two nodes have been replaced by two new nodes in version 6.1. One is called the Endpoint Lookup, and the other one is called the Registry Lookup. What you would need to do is, in your version 6.0, you have to copy your properties of your SR Retrieve node and SR Retrieve IT service before you delete your nodes and message flows, and then remove the flows that contain these nodes, all right? And also, you have to remove the dynamic cache notification component that is provided with the support pack, all right? And then, you modify your class path so that, like, you remove all the references to the jar files that are specific to the support pack. And there is a PAR file that is supplied with the support pack. Please remove that prior to your migration. And also, there are certain jar files that are copied into the shared classes as part of the IA9Q support pack. Please remove them as well before you migrate. All right? Let's move on to slide 23. Let me talk about platform support. All right? With version 6.1, it operates in two different modes, or three different modes. It is available in a 32-bit mode, or a 64-bit mode, or it can operate in a mixed mode, 32-bit and 64-bit mode. All right? Until version 6, on version 6, I think in 6.3, we have introduced the capability of 64-bit support. All right? So, version 6.1, there are three types of platforms. Platforms that are completely 32-bit. That means all the commands are 32-bit, and the broker core is 32-bit, and the data flow engines are 32-bit. And there are a set of platforms that you can have 32-bit and 64-bit support. On these platforms, all the commands are 64-bit, the broker core is 64-bit, and you can have 32-bit and 64-bit data flow engines. Right? And then the third category is you have platforms that are only 64-bit. That means all the commands and the broker core and the data flow engines are 64-bit. Right? So let's move on to the next slide that I show, slide 24. The same information, I'm showing it in a table. The top three platforms, that is Linux, 32-bit Linux, Windows, and ZOS, they operate in a 32-bit mode. Basically, you will have 32-bit data flow engines. You have no capability of running 64-bit data flow engines. And the next four platforms, AIX, HPUX, 64-bit Linux, and Solaris Spark. They can operate in a 32-bit mode or a 64-bit mode. That means you can have data flow engines which can be 32-bit or 64-bit. But all the commands are 64-bit commands. And the last three platforms, HP Itanium, Zlinux, and Solaris Opteron, they operate only in 64-bit mode. So you cannot have 32-bit data flow engines. You will only be able to have 64-bit data flow engines. All right? So if you're migrating to a 64-bit platform from a 32-bit platform, there are some additional steps that you need to do. So let's see what we need to do in the next few slides. All right, let's go on to slide 25. Migrating to a 64-bit platform. So if your platform is going to be 64-bit, you don't need any references to your 32-bit libraries on your libpath or LDLibrary path or whatever platform-specific environment variable that you're on. So you would need to remove those 32-bit library references from your environment. All right? If you're on version 6.0 and you're using 64-bit data flow engines, what you would need to do is we would have asked you to use MQSI libpath 64 environment variable. You no longer need it. You need to remove that. All right? Let's move on to slide 26. Migrating, again, more considerations, migrating to 64-bit platforms. 64-bit data flow engines, and if you want 32-bit data flow engines, you would need to set an environment variable called MQSI underscore libpath 32 and point it to the 32-bit libraries, all right? And you want to set this MQSI libpath 32 environment variable only if you're intending to use 32-bit data flow engines. If you're planning to migrate to 64-bit data flow engines, you don't need to use this. All right? And a couple of things that you would need to do to your odbc.ini. Until version 5.0, all the ODBC connections are 32-bit connections. Now that we have provided 64-bit connectivity, we provide two odbc.ini files, one for 32-bit drivers, one for 64-bit drivers. Based on what your requirements are, you would need to set your ODBC INI 32 or ODBC INI 64 environment variables to point to the appropriate ODBC INI files. All right? Let's move on to slide 27. All right? If you're planning to use JMS from a 32-bit execution groups and you're on a 64-bit environment, what you need to do is you need to set MQJMS Java library path on the MQSI libpath 32 environment variable. You need to reference all your MQM Java libraries on the MQSI libpath 32 environment variable. All right? And if you plan to use 32-bit execution groups from a 64-bit database instance, you need to set MQSI libpath 32 and point it to 32-bit libraries, all right? And one more thing I forgot to mention, and is very important, is if you are running 6.1, before migration, you have to migrate your database to a 64-bit instance. And if you are on DB2, you would use DB2 IUPDT command for that. And this has to be done prior to your migration. The database needs to be 64-bit instance before you can connect to it. All right? Let's move on to slide 28. That is basically almost So let's summarize what I had done in this presentation. All right? We have discussed about 6.1 coexisting with older versions of the product, and then we discussed migration strategies, how to migrate different runtime components, and then the migration command. Basically, all you would need to know is two commands, like I suggested, MQSI migrate components and MQSI migrate MF maps. All right? And the next couple of slides are basically for additional information resources that are available to you. And what I would suggest you do is version 6.1 Online Info Center has got excellent information on migration. There is a migration guide that is available for 6.1 as a hard copy, but that was written like, you know, when the 6.1 product is released. And the Online Info Center gets updated on a periodic basis with the information that we are finding out with the customer issues that we find out. So I urge you to refer to the Online Info Center, though you can have like the 6.1 PDF guide for reference. All right? So that's all I have, and thank you for your participation. What I will do now is turn it back over to Elijah for a quick poll, and we'll open the floor for questions. All right? Thanks a lot.
Thank you, colleagues, for a great presentation.
We'll take our first question from Dale Holtzgren with IBM.
Yes, I'm with IGS. We have a customer which is at version 2.1, but it's a very, very simple installation. Would it be worth going through migration to get to 6.1, or would it be just simpler to build a 6.1 instance and have them transfer the information?
I would suggest, like, you know, that they go through the migration path.
Okay, and that would be then from 2.1 to 6.0, then to 6.1?
That's right. The reason being, like you said, they're on 2.1, and there were so many changes that went in between 2.1 to version 5 to version 6. Specifically with MRM, if they're using message sets, I would strongly urge them to do a migration to 6.0 first and then go to 6.1.
Thank you. Is there information then on 2.1 to 6.0 migration at the information site?
Actually, there is an excellent red book that was written for version 6.0 migration. And if you want to drop me an email, I can send you that information.
I will. Thank you very much.
All right.
If at any time you do find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. We'll now go to Bill Brown with Wachovia.
Hi, this is Bill. I actually have two questions that I sort of threw out into the group chat. When I first did my migration of my workspace to Message Broker 6.1 toolkit, I would try to open the eSQL from the compute node, and it would go to create a new module. And one of the things that I discovered was if I went in and touched the file or just, you know, kind of added a space to the file and then saved it, that then made the, you know, the modules visible from the compute node. Do you have any experience with that, or does the clean project do the same thing?
Let me ask you this, Bill. I had seen your question. So what you say is if you had migrated your ESQL, say, from a previous version and opened in version 6.1 toolkit,
right,
and you right-click on your compute node and say open ESQL, it used to open a new module?
Right. It couldn't find the previously defined module. And so, you know, obviously that wasn't going to be satisfactory because I had dozens of...
I totally agree with you. But how did you open your ESQL module? Or is it from, like, you know, outside the compute node, open the ESQL?
Well, I selected the compute node, right-clicked on it, and said open ESQL.
Right.
And when that didn't lead me to where I expected, I decided to go browse for the module, and it couldn't find it. And then, so I closed everything down, I didn't close the whole toolkit. I closed the message flow, and I closed the eSQL without saving anything. Then I just opened the eSQL, and I was just poking around, But
that was my question. When you said you opened your ESQL, is it just like, you know, right-clicking on ESQL and saying open the ESQL instead of going through a message flow?
Well, that was the next approach I took. I went ahead and opened the ESQL file and just kind of added a space to the file, you know, just to let the toolkit know that it needed to be saved.
Okay.
And then I saved it, and that seems to resolve the issue. And then I went back to open the message flow, right-click on the compute node, open ESQL, and boom, it goes to the right place.
Huh.
So it was a little bit of a quirk. I'm at the latest release. It didn't necessarily fix it.
When you say you're at the latest release, are you at like 6.1.0.2?
Yes.
Okay. What I can do, Bill, is I would like to try this on 6.1.0.1, okay, because there were a couple of things that 6.2 has introduced.
Right. I did encounter this in 6.1.0.1 as well.
Okay. All right. What I would suggest definitely you do is open a PMR, send us, like, you know, the project that's been migrated, and we'll definitely take a look at it.
Okay. And I'll try to reproduce it, obviously. Okay. So that was the first question. And I'll go ahead and open the PMR. The second one was, you know, we've got 6.0.7 running in a couple of nodes, and we've got 6.1.0.2 installed, and we're just getting it up and running, and I'm knocking my head against the whole 64-bit, 32-bit thing pretty regularly.
Okay.
What I'm trying to understand is I'm almost at a place where I'm going to say to our customers, hey, if you're in 6.0, you're using 32-bit execution groups. That's the default.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, in fact, like, you know, when I saw your question, that was an excellent question.
Okay.
But to be honest, like, you know, when 6.0 Fixed Pack 3 came, I struggled a lot, just like, you know, so that I was comfortable before I answered customers' questions to get 64-bit execution groups running.
Right.
I mean, I banged my head so hard, and there were so many things that we had to do. And now, the same thing with 6.1, it's actually we flipped the switch.
Yeah.
And we said, if you want to do 32-bit, 64-bit is the default. You want to do 32-bit, you have to do the reverse.
Okay.
But I would say, if you are going to be on 6.1, being on 64-bit is the easiest way to go forward, especially if you are on, like, you know, knowing that Wachovia is on AIX.
Yeah.
That's the easiest thing that you guys can do. And if you want to do 32-bit, there is a lot more administration involved than being straight on 64-bit.
That's an understatement. Okay. Well, that's good. That answers my question.
But like I said, like, you know, being on 64-bit execution groups with 6.1 is, to be honest, like, is a cakewalk.
Yeah.
And whereas with 6.0, it was the other way. Being on 32-bit was, like, the natural thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that I always, like, you know, had issues, or most of my customer issues that I dealt with migration, are if they don't upgrade their database instance to 64-bit, you will have all kinds of connectivity issues, and the error is not straightforward. Till the time we see, okay, it's database that's not being connected, then we say, oh, let's get the DB2 output, and then say, oh, you're on 32-bit instance. The main thing is you have to upgrade your instance to 64-bit.
Okay, and we've been running 64-bit DB2 for a long time, so we're good there.
Then you're good.
The last thing, and then I'll let it get in line here. With this, what's the advantage? Is it faster, more memory?
Exactly, like, you know, 64-bit allows you, like, you know, a lot more.
Okay, so, all right, very good. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Next, we'll hear from IBM's Peter Podke.
Hi, we have one customer who has some 2.1 brokers on old hardware. We have the opportunity, and we're going to move forward with getting new brokers on new hardware, and we want to go directly to 6.1. How do we get their 2.1 flows to deploy to the 6.1 brokers on new hardware? Do we have to build an intermediate 6.0 broker?
Yes.
that was our plan, was they would deploy to 6.0, give it a quick test. If it worked, then take that 6.0 flow and open it up in a 6.1 toolkit and then deploy the 6.1 broker.
Yeah, the only reason why I'm saying is, like I told earlier, is the reason why, like, you know, between 2.1 and 5.0, there were a lot of MRM changes. So you definitely need to, like, you know, move up to 6.0 first, and then, like, you know, from 6.0 to 6.1. 2.1 to 6.1 migration, even though, like, you know, you migrate your flows, you open, I would say you will spend more time churning, like, you know, trying to figure out than, like, migrating from 2.0 to 6.0 and then 2.1 to 6.0 to 6.1. That's the easier path.
The reason I asked is we had another customer that went from 5.0 to 6.0. Things were working fine, and then we said, let's go to 6.1, and they didn't have to make any changes from 6.0 to 6.1. So if there were no changes from 6.0 to 6.1, it's kind of odd that you can't go from 2.1 to 6.1 directly. You just got to kind of stop there intermediately, don't do anything differently, and then just redeploy, and you're good to go.
But again, like, you know, one thing is, first of all, if they are migrating from 2.1 to 6.1, since 2.1 is not a supported version, we will not let, like, you know, if you encounter some migration issues, you will have problem with support.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things. Right? All right.
So we're going to go forward with the intermediate broker at 6.0.
Yeah, I would strongly advise that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Peter.
Next is Serena Vasapati with University of Michigan.
Hi, I'm using WTX plugin node with a version 5. Now I'm planning to migrate 6.1 with the WTX node flows. So do any, like, a different way to do that, or it goes straight away?
The WTX, is it a play? WTX is, okay.
It's a transformation extender.
Yeah, it's a transformation extender.
Yeah.
I don't think there are any changes that need to be done to WTX, because WTX actually comes for, you have a version 6.1 transformation extender. It's a different version that you need to install.
Yeah, the problem is I already installed the coexistence version, like 5 and the 6.1 now. So I won't see that in the palette, the transformation extended nodes in 6.1.
In 6.1, you don't see the nodes?
Yeah.
All right, and have you copied, like, you know, your workbench representation into your EV Toolkit plugins directory?
No. I'm just doing testing only with the one flow, like one map flow and a TX flow.
Right.
I'm just taking one flow, and I'm doing it that way. So do I need to copy all the workspace? Or?
No, not the workspace. There are two things for a plugin node. One is your jar files, which is your runtime logic.
Yeah.
The other one is the workbench representation, which is basically your node that you see in your toolkit.
Okay.
That comes from, there is a directory in your Eclipse. You have to copy that node too. So if you install the latest version of Transformation Extender on your version 6.1, what it will do is it will copy an extension point or an up, or it'll do an Eclipse extension point for the node to appear.
Okay.
You would need to do that.
Okay, anyway, I will contact through the email then.
That's fine.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot.
Next we'll hear from WellPoint's Sakara Fazilala.
Hey, Shekhar.
Hey, Kailash, this is Shekhar here.
How are you?
Yeah, fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was, I have a question basically on the Derby database thing, where, you know, it is used for migration of the database instances.
Right.
So my question was basically, is that Derby database to migrate to all the, both the configure the database and use the database, or how is that?
No. The Derby database that you have is only a broker database. The config manager database is CloudScape, right? And what you have, the Derby database that I was talking about, is if you run your default configuration wizard, for the broker database, we create the Derby database.
Okay.
So the database instance manager is associated with the default broker that you create, or if you want to, like, you know, on Windows platform, if you don't have DB2, you can use Derby as the broker database. But again, it is not for production purposes. If you are using a test broker and you want to play with it, you can use the Derby database as the broker database.
That is only for the Windows broker.
Windows broker and test brokers only. And what you can do is, the way you create your Derby database is you can use your MQSI create DB command, and you can specify, actually you can use MQSI create DB command to create the database first, whether it's DB2 or any database for that matter. But on Windows, you have the ability to create a Derby database or like a DB2 database using your MQSI create DB command. So it's only for the brokers. The config manager, the config manager repository gets created automatically under the covers. You don't have to do anything.
Okay. So this is only for the Windows broker.
It's only for the Windows broker.
And this has nothing to do with any migration.
It's got, like I said, if you are on version 6.0 and you have created your default configuration wizard components with the default configuration wizard, or you have created a Derby database to be used as a broker database for test purposes and you want to migrate that, we have upgraded the Derby instance in 6.1, or we have a newer version of Derby in 6.1.
Okay.
All right.
Our next question comes from Ravi Patti with Lee Holmes.
Hi.
Hey, Ravi.
Hi, Kailash. I have a quick question. I have also typed the same questions, if I'm not clear, over the phone in the chat window. We have version 6 of Message Broker running on AAX along with Config Manager, Username Server, DB2, MQ.
Okay.
So my question is, without changing the, you were saying that you have to change it because we need to have unique names for broker and config manager.
Right.
The thing is, all our clients need to change the queue manager name and everything if we change these names. Is there a way to migrate without changing these names? Does the MQ migrate, migrate components help without changing the names, if we want to migrate all these components?
Well, you see, the thing is, if you're migrating your components, the name doesn't change. All I said was, if you want to have two different components running at two different versions, say, for example, you want a 6.0 broker and a 6.1 broker,
okay,
right, on the same box, you can't have the same names.
Okay.
You can't have the same broker. Say, for example, you call your broker as Broker 1, and you can't have a 6.0 broker called Broker 1 and 6.1 called Broker 1.
Okay.
So when you migrate, your 6.0 broker becomes a 6.1 broker, right? Once you migrate, basically you migrated from version 6.0 to 6.1, and that is now a 6.1 broker. Your Broker 1 is essentially a 6.1 broker.
Okay. Okay, so we just have to run the migrate components and the new broker is with the same name.
Yeah, it will be 6.1.
Okay. I have a couple of more questions tagged along with this. We also have the DB2, which is running on that 8.2 version.
Right.
And the new 6.1 is coming with a newer version of DB2.
Right.
Do we have to install that DB2 and or do we have to migrate the existing so that the the properties are moved from the previous version to the...
Well, you don't have to, like, install 9.2 if you don't want to, because I bet, like, you know, let me look at the SOE page. 8.2 is a supported database, if I'm not mistaken. And the only thing that you would need to do is upgrade your database instance from a 32-bit instance to a 64-bit instance.
Okay. My next question is based on these 32-bit instances and the message flows running on these instances. We have already deployed the 32-bit message flows in the broker. Now, should we have to migrate these 32-bit message flows to 64-bit, or can we use...
You mean the data flow engines, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. What happens is once you migrate, by default, on platforms like AIX Solaris, Spark Solaris, Linux 64-bit, the default data flow engines are 64-bit. So if you run your migration, they are 64-bit. Unless you want them to be 32-bit, then you have to configure your environment to make it 32-bit, which is what exactly Bill had asked right off the bat, saying, okay, if I want like 32-bit data flow engines with 6.1 on platforms like AIX, what do I need to do? Remember, like, you know, the slides where I said, if you want 32-bit data flow engines on native 64-bit platforms, you have to configure your 32-bit data flow engine environment.
Okay. So we can. So what about if for the time being I want to keep the 32-bit instances in our broker, continue to keep the 32-bit instances in our broker, and any new new deployments, if I want to keep 64-bit instances, can I do them?
Sure, you can have a mixed environment of 32-bit and 64-bit.
Okay, perfect. And one last question. We migrated the JVM from 1.4, the default 1.4 version, to 1.5.
Okay.
Is there any impact of running migrating to 6.1 if we want to keep, because all our custom classes are developed in JVM 1.5.
Okay. Here's the deal. With version 6.0, we always supplied the default version of JVM that is used is 1.4.2, and we also supplied JRE 1.5, and we said if you want to use JRE 1.5, just run, put a shell script, like, you know, and we used to change the path to point to the 1.5 JRE.
Yes, correct.
With 6.1, what we did was 1.5 is the default. So you don't have to do anything. 6.1 runs on 1.5.
Okay, perfect.
So your flows, your classes will run on 1.5.
What about the toolkit? Because the earlier version toolkit is not supporting 1.5 JVM.
I think 6.1 toolkit supports 1.5.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome.
As a reminder, that is star one to ask a question. We'll go now to Bill McCormick with Pep Boys.
Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Kailash. I was just someone earlier had mentioned the Red Book that was targeted for migration to version 6 of the broker.
Right.
I'm going from 5. I'm wondering if I should steer clear of that or if that still would provide some useful information for the migration.
Are you migrating to 6.1 or 6.0?
Yes, to 6.1.
6.1. The migration Red Book to 6.0, like I said, is an excellent resource. It will give you all the things about, like, you know, what you need to do to your plugins and all. But at the same thing, like, you know, if you're migrating to 6.1, you don't necessarily need to, like, you know, review that book unless, like, you know, you want to see what is written in it. But like I said, that's an excellent resource, and it's a nice reading, too, to be honest.
Well, I just didn't know if it was pertinent or if it would be misleading. I didn't know if I should just stick
to it. It won't be misleading, but at the same time, it won't be pertinent because all the 6.1 information that's on the Info Center and the migration guide that is available on our downloads is pertinent to 6.1.
Okay.
So I'd rather have you refer to the 6.1 rather than, like, you know, spend extra time reading 6.0, which is, I mean, like, you know, in my opinion, like, you know, is not at all needed for your scenario.
Okay.
Right?
That's really what I wanted to know. It's in the interest of time and getting onto the migration, what resources I should be focusing on.
Yep. Then, like, you know, definitely read just 6.1.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Next is Hennepin County's Mike Wallace.
Yes.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. We have 4 6.006 broker domains. And We have development, test slash QAT, UAT, and prod.
Okay.
We want to do a phased migration. That is, we want to migrate the development environment first, then test slash QA, then UAT, then prod. Our broker source is at 6.0, and it's stored in ClearCase. Since we will have some of our environments at 6.1 and some at 6.0 during the migration, what order would you recommend that we migrate the components so that we can have compatibility while we're migrating?
So you have four environments.
Right.
And the source is stored in ClearCase.
Correct. So we only have one version of it, and it's stored in ClearCase.
Right.
And once you save something in a 6.1 toolkit, you can't look at it in a 6.0 toolkit.
That's correct.
Okay. So my point is, see, if when we migrate the development environment from 6.0 to 6.1,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you use a 6.1 toolkit, and the brokers or the developers are doing development, and then they want to promote it to our QA environment, which is still at 6.0.
Well, you can, like I said, like, you know, the artifacts, some of the things, like, you know, the bar files that you create at 6.1 level, are you cannot, like, go deploy them to a 6.0 broker.
Right.
Right. So, in your case, what I would say is, like, you know, have a separate ClearCase branch for your 6.1 development environment, right?
Okay.
And basically, you will have a development environment that is running at 6.0 and 6.1.
Okay, so you would have, like, two development streams in ClearCase.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's how you maintain your ClearCase more than, like, how you migrate.
Right. I was thinking of actually migrating the configuration managers first, then the brokers, and leaving the toolkits at 6.0, and then doing the toolkits last.
Yeah, that sounds
would
like
that work?
A good idea.
Do you see any problems with that?
Not right off the top, but if we encounter problems, we are here to help you.
Okay.
Right?
But I mean, if we continue to develop the source in 6.0 and not use any of the new features of 6.1, because at this point all we want to do is confirm that our 6.0 bar files will run in 6.1 without problem, and as I understand it, they will.
Yes, if you take a 6.0 bar file and drop it to a 6.1 broker with it unmodified, it will deploy.
Right, and it should run as long as you're not using any of the new features of 6.1.
That's right.
Okay. So either one of those would work.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Humaira Arshi with Verizon Business.
Hey, Kailash.
Yes.
This is Humaira here.
Yeah. Who is this?
Okay, we are actually migrating from version 2.1
okay.
To 6.0 and then to 6.1. I just had a quick question. We just have like a one broker.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, can we go with the option of creating a new broker and the config manager instead of migrating the components? That was the question. Like, if we stop the message flows and we delete the existing broker in the config manager and create the brand new ones, and then import the migrated flows, will that work without an issue?
So you're planning to, like, you know, migrate from 2.1. You're going to migrate your message flows and all to 6.0,
right.
Then create a new broker 6.1. And deploy the flows on a 6.1 broker from whatever you have migrated to 6.0?
Right. First to 6.0 because we created a new broker in the config manager.
Fine.
And 6.0 also.
Yeah.
But in set environments, we have basically new boxes for the with the new operating systems to support these versions.
Okay.
So we are kind of okay because we don't look at the pre-existing data. We just create new data and test it out here.
All right.
Yes,
yeah,
so
that should not be a problem because all you're doing is you have already migrated your flows to 6.0.
Uh-huh.
And all you want to do is create a new component and deploy this. Yeah.
Exactly. But in production, though, we have to do it on the same box. So we'll be uninstalling and then installing the new version.
Okay.
I only had a question about the production because with the testing environment, we are fine because we don't depend on any existing data.
Okay.
So as long as we stop the message flows, I mean, we don't have any dependency on the broker database, right? So we always can go with the new components instead of migrating the components.
Okay. Yeah, that should not be a problem.
Okay. Thanks. That was the question I had.
All right.
As a final reminder, to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now go back to Scar Vavilla.
Hey, Shekhar.
Hi. This is Shekhar again. Yeah, I have two questions, in fact. The first one is on the database again. When we migrate the database, data flow engine, it is going to be default 64-bit. So what about the database instance? Is it also 64-bit or 32-bit?
Like I said, on platforms that are 64-bit by default, you have to migrate your database instance to 64-bit before you do a migration. Otherwise, it won't even migrate. You'll have connectivity issues.
So what if, if it is like we have AAX and right now we have 32-bit EFEs. So we want to retain the same 32-bit. So I was wondering whether it will work if we migrate the database to 32-bit and then
somebody asked me this question whether they can have a mixed environment of a 32-bit and a 64-bit data flow engines. You can have a mixed environment. That's the whole point of the middle tier of platforms that support both 32-bit and 64-bit, which are like AIX, Solaris, Linux 64-bit, and HPUX. You can have a mixed mode of 32-bit and 64-bit data flow engines. But the database instance has to be 64-bit instance because the default is 64-bit commands, and
so
they'll operate only with a 64-bit instance.
That means we have three steps. One is migrate the database instance to 64-bit.
It's not a migrate step. It's actually updating the database instance. Yes, that if you consider that as a step, yes, it is.
Convert the 32-bit database instance to 64-bit will be the first step. Second step is migrate your broker and DFEs to 6.1, which will make it 64-bit by default. And if you want to go back to your 32, you need to do all that.
You need to configure your environment.
And the database is still going to be 64-bit.
That's right. But actually, if you contact me afterwards, We did have one customer. I have to go back and check. We made basically during migration. I think he wanted it to be 32-bit, and one of us handled that PMR. So I need to go back and check on that.
All right, and thank you for that. And the second question is about the config manager.
Okay.
Version 5, as we all know, it's there's no need to have any name for the config manager.
That's right.
But in 6.6 and 6.1, I believe, we can name the config manager.
That's right.
The question is, if when I migrate the config manager to 6.1, do I have to name the config manager or I can...
No, by default, if you don't name the config manager, it will be still called ConfigMGR, just like it used to be in 2.1 and version 5.0.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
The whole concept of naming config managers is so that you can have more than one config manager.
Okay.
Otherwise, you don't have to name it if you don't want it.
Yeah. That is all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Shaker.
And it appears there are no further questions at this time. Mr. Robertson, please go ahead.
All right. At this time, we conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. I hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, colleagues, for presenting today.
Thanks, Elijah. Thank you all.